Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Happy Friday, one and all. What is good? Greenville, South Carolina. It is awesome to be here with you today. What a show we have for you between now and 4 p.m.
You know, I need to start filming you trying to unravel your headphones to put them on your head because it's quite entertaining.
I never realize when they're tangled, and they're only tangled when they can't afford to be tangled. And that is the fact, Jack. Tons of great stuff to get to today, as per usual, here on the show. A statement is being made that you haven't thought of yet in Gamecocks camp as they get set for a must-win game in their season tomorrow in Columbia, in a different Columbia, Columbia, Missouri. We're going to have a guest on the show from ESPN at 2 p.m. today that has a brand new stat that, in my opinion, will revolutionize the way we evaluate defensive players. Seth Walder joins us at 2 o'clock. Can a radio show host have too much power? Well, we will ask that because someone from our own company went at it with his broadcast partner earlier this week. We will play that audio for you. I was captivated by that earlier today. Our man Neil Pappas is back with his lock of the week coming up at 2:40 today, off of a one-week suspension from the show, returns at 2:40. And Bobby Rozinski, play-by-play voice of the Charlotte 49ers, whom the Clemson Tigers are playing tomorrow, joins us to talk about Will Healy and his new offense and how this Charlotte 49ers team plans to offer a surprise tomorrow. I'm not going to say they're going to win the game, but Dabo Swinney is on record as saying the Tigers could be embarrassed if they're not fully prepared, and I do believe that this 49ers team might be the best offensive team that Clemson plays the entire season. Plus, wise guys' wisdom coming your way at 3:40 today, where yours truly holds a one-game lead over Lonzo in the race to avoid having to wear the Gardner Minshew mustache. But I would be remiss if I did not open the show today by paying homage to the man sitting across from me. It is Lonzo's birthday today, ladies and gentlemen. It is his birthday. He's wearing a zero on his shirt, but he's much more than a zero to me. And Lonzo, I want to thank you for all that you do on the show. And I want to let you know how much I appreciate all that you do on the show. And did you happen to see a little gift sitting in front of you on the keyboard here today?
Yeah, okay. But I mean, if you see loose cash laying somewhere, you don't know if it's for you. That's why it's sitting over there. No. Because okay. I wasn't going to pocket it.
I am gifting you, and I thought this better than bringing it to the studio today because I didn't know. I know you've been having some stomach issues this week. We both have. I was thinking about for you the Pizza Tots right down the road at Habitat. So the gift was thought with that in mind. If you don't mind. That is.
Oh, I don't mind because I've had those several times. That is now my spot. So
Habitat is your spot.
Yes, it is.
Habitat is your spot. That's fantastic. So, please enjoy some Pizza Tots on me.
Thank you.
In honor of your birthday. And listen, we'll accept your happy birthday wishes for Lonzo today. Lonzo and I kick each other's butts up and down. But I I'm not saying that's not going to happen to Lonzo today. But I'm very mindful of the fact that this is the one day of the year where he and I are supposed to get along. Okay, so we will do our best between
now. Are you saying we're not supposed to get along for your birthday?
No. On my birthday, I want to be swinging.
Okay.
I want to be swinging. On my birthday, I want to be swinging back and forth, left and right.
I remember your birthday. I took you to the airport.
You did take me to the airport for my birthday. That was a fantastic. You've done that a few times.
And I didn't go through with what I was going to do because it was your birthday. I had a playlist set up on my Spotify to really annoy you for the entire trip, and I didn't do it.
Now, why would you want to do that on somebody's birthday?
I didn't realize it was your birthday. Oh, okay. Once I did, I didn't play it. Okay. I thought it would have been pretty funny. I had the same song downloaded 6 different versions.
Okay. What song was that?
You've never heard of it before.
Well, why would it bother me then?
Because it's a little creepy. It's called Cry Little Sister, and it's from the Lost Boys soundtrack.
I like how you assume that I've never heard of this before.
Have you ever seen?
You're correct.
You've never watched The Lost Boys?
No, I've never heard it before.
Okay.
Never heard it before at all. You're 100% right on that. Okay. I will tell you this, folks. Last night, Thursday night football in the National Football League. Can we just agree, one and all, together, to flush Thursday night football? Number one, I don't get it anymore in my cable package. I no longer get the NFL Network. Somebody said to me last night, we were out at this Euphoria event in downtown Greenville. That was a blast. If you're listening, some of you guys may have been at the event last night as well. It was hella fun. I had alcoholic ice cream. I had blackberry moonshine.
Wait. Alcoholic ice cream?
So alcoholic ice cream.
Ice cream for alcoholics?
Yeah, 100. It will lead to you being alcoholic if you continue to consume that. There's no doubt about that. I had cheesecake. What was the alcohol? I had coconut rum ice cream. And then I had cheesecake something else ice cream. And they had all these different kinds of ice creams. And I had let people know that I'd tried the coconut rum ice cream very recently, earlier this week. It's fantastic. I had blackberry moonshine was fantastic. Also got to try Hall's Chop House. Hall's Chop House. They had slices of filet mignon. I think they call it filet mignon.
I love the filet.
The filet mignon is outstanding. They also had lobster on top of the filet. It was outstanding as well. So we had a wonderful time last night. I didn't get to see the Thursday night football game. And people were saying to me last night, Mark, you know, you're missing the game. You're missing the game. I'd check on Twitter and everyone was saying, this game is garbage. Tom Brady, who I know, Lonzo, you put a lot of credence into what Tom says. Tom Brady says, I'm not watching this crap anymore. There's too many penalties. Well,
what really happened was Giselle said, come to bed. So he said, you know.
Well, I would imagine I would stop doing whatever I was doing if Giselle said that to me. It's time to come to bed. But I give the officials a break here on this thing because if there are fouls committed, it is up to you to call them. If you just happen to have a particularly egregious team that's holding on every play, even if it creates a crappy football product on television, call the penalty. If you're an official, you can't be worried about the fans and the viewers at home are not going to be happy because we're throwing too many flags. I think players can take advantage of that. I think players can say, well, I've gotten 2 holding calls in a row. There's no way they'll call a third. They don't want to annoy the viewer at home. You don't want to do that. But I do think we can say at this particular juncture that Thursday night football should be flushed. Okay. Number one, let's start with this. It's killing college football on Thursday. Thursday night college football on ESPN used to kick off the college football weekend. It used to give us a primetime matchup. It used to give us a Miami and Virginia Tech when both of those teams were in the top 25. You know, you would get a Clemson or Georgia Tech, or you'd get a national interest, a national game of interest that would be noteworthy to all. Last night, we got Tulane and Houston. Everyone will tell you it was an exciting game. Tulane won at the last second, and Houston falls to 1-3 under new coach Dana Holgorsen. Folks, college football, ESPN, perhaps because they're in bed with the NFL and everyone wants to kiss up to the NFL, the NFL says, we're going to put a game on Thursday nights. Here's how the NFL works with their negotiations. Do you remember when ESPN aired the show Playmakers back in the day about behind the scenes in the NFL? The NFL hated that so much that it gave ESPN a crappy slate of Monday night football games the entire year. And you're stuck watching like Jets and Bengals in week 13 of Monday night football the following year. I have a book, The Inside Story Behind ESPN. It details that, how the NFL was ticked at playmakers, so they took it out on ESPN by giving them a crappy slate of games. So what do you think happens when the NFL announces we're going to have games on Thursday night? If you want to curry favor with the NFL, what do? Do you compete with them ratings-wise? Of course not. Of course you don't compete with them ratings-wise. You put Tulane and Houston on TV on Thursday night instead of Clemson and Georgia Tech, instead of Miami and Virginia Tech, instead of South Carolina versus Texas A&M. That's what you do. I remember that game from a few years ago, don't you? South Carolina, Texas A&M, one of the last great Thursday night games that we've gotten. Remember that game? They don't do that anymore. And so what we get, and it works on college football because you have an extra day's rest. And it works with college football because, Lonzo, our expectation for quality of play isn't the same that it is for the NFL. You give me college football and 5 days rest, I can work. You give me the NFL between Sunday and Thursday, what you see is what you got last night. What you see is a bleep show. What you see are flags everywhere. What you see is a really low-quality product. What you see is a product that should be flushed because it is not up to NFL standards. People like me can't even get it on TV. We're delaying the start of the college football weekend. No one even knew Houston was playing Tulane last night, except those who might have had a financial stake in the game. Hi, guys. My name is Mark Ryan. Outside of that, you really didn't. Nobody knew about it because the NFL's taken it over, man. The NFL's commanded Thursday night football, and the product sucks. Can we agree on that, ladies and gentlemen? I'm Mark Ryan, and I approve this message. Are you with me? 1-844-477-3776, 1-844-GSP-ESPN. Birthday boy, what do you got?
I completely disagree with you. I'd like to have the NFL on 7 days a week. It is the best sport in
the
entire world.
I
know you can't, but I would like it. I love Thursday night football. I thought last night's game was pretty good. You know, we're going to get penalties. That's a part of it. Deal with it. I mean, sorry.
But you realize we're not getting good college games now because of that.
I'd rather see college on Saturday. That's where it belongs.
College or NFL for you?
NFL comes first. College comes second.
See, no way. No, you're in a college football area, Lonzo. So? We need to rewind that and erase over that.
So?
We're in an area where South Carolina and Clemson are king. We watch Saturday as to wind up and Sunday as to wind down. That's what we do.
I do not adhere to trends like I'm supposed to. I am my own person, so I could care less what's popular here. I'm telling you what I like first, and I know a lot of people who love the NFL first. And we're watching the story of Gardner Minshew. I mean, it's a big story. Even if the game wasn't as great as it could have been, the fact that this dude is winning games, I think it's pretty awesome.
All right, so much to get to on the show between now and show's end at 2 p.m., a new statistic that, in my opinion, could revolutionize the way we evaluate defensive players. But up next, did we see something that highlights a major mistake the Carolina Panthers may have made? This is the number one sports radio show in the state of South Carolina, according to the South Carolina Broadcasters Association, and you're privy to it, Offsides with Mark Ryan on ESPN Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan and the birthday boy, Lonzo Reitzel. A check on the text line. Dear Lonzo, happy birthday and many more. Yours truly, Nick Saban. Happy birthday, Lonzo. Let's see. Last night's college football was a fantastic game, Houston and Tulane. It was a fantastic game. It was a crappy matchup. You got lucky with the way the game played out, man. You can't bank on that week after week after week. College football has ceded completely. ESPN has bent over for the NFL to just completely give up the night of Thursday.
See, you say that, but the national champion Clemson Tigers open up the season on Thursday night.
And guess what didn't take place that night? An NFL game. Yeah.
You got a
good
point there.
Yeah, thank you. Thank
well,
you
actually,
much.
There were preseason games.
Preseason games that nobody cared about. Yeah, Clemson was completing against preseason. College football wins in that one. You know, and we're seeing this, and I'm actually recommending baseball do this by having its playoffs in August because baseball has lost so much ground. But college football shouldn't be conceding to the NFL in no way, shape, or form. And what's troubling to me is it's not college football conceding. It's ESPN conceding to the NFL. It's, okay, you guys want to air games on Thursday night? We will put a game on the slate that is no competition to you whatsoever. And you know, Lonzo, I imagine a station like stations like this one across the country. Now, we weren't around 5 years ago, but I imagine stations like this across the country, you know, used to air the Thursday night college football game each and every week. And now what are you going to do? You're going to air the NFL game or Tulane football on Thursday? You see what I mean? ESPN made that so easy for the NFL, and it really, really, really spoils my spuds. Yesterday on the show, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but Paulie Shore was in our studios earlier this morning. Yeah, hey, buddy.
I just saw some pictures about that. Buddy. I did not know he was.
Yeah.
What time was he here?
I saw him. Let's see what the clock says. 11:04 a.m. Paulie Shore was in our studios this morning, had his sunglasses on in full inside darkness.
I do that too.
If it's a look, it's a look. Look, I'll do it as well. I'm gonna start doing the Paulie Shore looking here, so I don't have to look at you.
That's fine. I mean, I look good in shade, which you throw at me often. What's Paulie Shore even do anymore?
He's got a comedy act at the Comedy Zone.
Okay.
Here in Greenville, coming up on the weekend. So it was cool to see him, man. Cool to see him. I just missed him. He had his sunglasses off for a second, and then when I snapped the shot, they went back down. By the way, yesterday on the show, we had on Amy Dash, who is Fox Sports Radio's legal analyst. And you might be wondering, okay, well, how is this California law that is going to allow for players to be compensated for their image and likeness? You know, what about the NCAA saying, okay, well, the California schools won't be eligible for the national championship? Here's Amy on that.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. It was unanimously passed last month, so all that's left are
hit
some
pause on that for me
for
1 second, Lonzo. Yeah, so I asked if there's any question, if there's any doubt as to whether the governor will refuse to sign that bill, and she says it's all but a formality that it will be signed. Let's continue.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. It was unanimously passed last month, so all that's left are some small formalities, and the governor would have to sign it into law. So it's just procedure at this point. It will definitely be signed into law soon.
Okay, and how about the one from when she says, okay. So at a different part in the interview, what we were looking for there was when Amy Dash goes into the fact that that the law in California that they're passing means that the NCAA will have to accept California's teams. They will have to accept California's teams because you have to adhere to state law. You absolutely positively must adhere to state law, and the NCAA has to fall in line with state law as well. Okay, so I thought that was really interesting, we'll play more clips of that interview for you because I think that's going to kind of be an ongoing thing. Lonzo, we might want to hotkey some of those clips from that interview because I think that's going to, you know, as the season goes on, this season and the next season, I think that's going to be a real, real key talking point. Did you happen to see last night somebody that was making a name for themselves? He happens to go by the name of Gardner Minshew. I don't know if it's going to be the Aaron Rodgers mustache or the Gardner Minshew mustache, but whomever loses between Lonzo and I in the Wise Guys Wisdom Pick'em Challenge between now and the end of the year will have to grow one of them. Gardner Minshew is lighting the NFL on fire, ladies and gentlemen, and it's really, really cool to see. It's been a long time since Jacksonville fans had something truly they could be excited about. I mean, it is a team that made it to the AFC Championship game, but you knew there was a ceiling to their potential with Blake Bortles at quarterback. So Gardner Minshew, in being the winning quarterback last night, again, no interceptions from Gardner Minshew for the Jacksonville Jaguars, now has the highest completion percentage in the first three games among rookies all time in NFL history. Gardner Minshew, 74%. Rick Meyer, 71%. Trent Edwards, 70.5%. John Kitna, 69%. Highest completion percentage through three games. So you're saying, well, Mark Ryan, the rest of those names don't impress me. How about highest passer rating through three games in NFL history? Gardner Minshew has that as well. Highest passer rating of a rookie ever in NFL history. Gardner Minshew, 111. Marcus Mariota, 110. Carson Wentz, 104. Highest quarterback rating ever for a rookie through three games of his rookie year. Ladies and gentlemen, Gardner Minshew was a sixth-round pick. Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick. Not only that, but can I mention to you, here are the quarterbacks in the 2019 NFL draft that, according to one of the best draft analytics sites in existence, Walter Football, okay? Here are the quarterbacks that were ranked ahead or as being better than Gardner Minshew in the 2019 NFL draft. Are you ready? Got pen and paper ready? Here we go. Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, Drew Lock, number four, Daniel Jones, number five, Ryan Finley, number six, Clayton Thorson, number seven, Will Greer, number eight, Jarrett Stidham, number nine, Kyle Shermer, Pat Shermer's son, who we will hear from at 2:20 today, number 10, Tyree Jackson, quarterback of Buffalo, number 11, something called Jacob Delasula, number 12, Brett Rippon, number 13, Easton Stick, quarterback, North Dakota State University. Need I go on? Right before the draft, the quarterbacks rated as better quarterbacks for the NFL than Gardner Minshew in terms of draft prospects, draft projection. Number 14, Trace McSorley, Penn State. Number 15, Nick Fitzgerald, Mississippi State. Number 16, yes, Minshew University, Gardner Minshew, projected undrafted free agent, Gardner Minshew. Seventh round undrafted free agent, Gardner Minshew. Not one, not two, not three, not six, not eight, not 10, not 12. 15 quarterbacks in the NFL draft with better grades than Gardner Minshew. Let's keep it going, shall we? How about some weaknesses for Gardner Minshew? Let's see here. NBC Sports says he has more of a backup skill set for the NFL and did not have a strong performance at the Sugar Bowl. All he did under Mike Leach was complete 71% of his passes for 4,779 yards, 38 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Weaknesses. Per a scouting report I found online, names will be left out to protect the innocent. Below average height, high number of batted passes, benefited from scheme. Scouts are concerned by lack of arm strength. Very little stride and drive in his release. Intermediate and deep throws require additional air. Nose of the ball will drop on drive throws. Appears to lack some confidence with touch throws over linebackers in the zone. Defaults to the short read on low looks. Unlikely to run away from closing rushers. Well, guess what he is likely to do? Beat the Tennessee Titans on Thursday Night Football. Guess what he is likely to do? Have the highest completion percentage of any quarterback ever in his rookie year through three starts, guess what he is likely to do? Have the highest quarterback rating ever after three starts. Folks, my principal point here is to wonder out loud if the Carolina Panthers screwed the pooch by not selecting Gardner Minshew. And realize the Panthers have a must-win game. They have a must-win game this weekend against the Arizona Cardinals. And they're forced to start Kyle Allen. Why? Because they're not confident in Will Greer. Now, but Mark Ryan, weren't you in the Will Greer camp? I was. I am also not an NFL scout, nor did I stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. I've done none of these things. Okay? It is not my job to be able to forecast into the future what quarterbacks are going to be the best. I still have hopes for Will Greer. I still like Will Greer. Jacksonville thought highly enough to the 16th rated quarterback in the draft to make him Nick Foles' primary backup. And when Nick Foles went down, they felt confident enough in Gardner to make him their starter. And it is paying massive dividends. Would you feel differently today if Gardner Minshew was on the Panthers roster as to the prospects of winning Sunday at Arizona? Would you feel differently today? It seems to me like the early returns are in the selection of Will Greer over Gardner Minshew, the colossal overlooking of the entire league of Gardner Minshew was a catastrophic mistake. Lonzo, you don't want to do this to the kid, but this kid's got rock star status right now, man. I mean, and you also have the history of Tom Brady. And I don't want to do this to the kid with a comparison of Tom Brady, but you also have the comparison of Tom Brady going in the sixth round. This guy's coming into the league and setting all sorts of records as a sixth round pick. Color me impressed with Gardner Minshew. Here's Gardner after the game last night.
I'm in a position now, you know, I think with every rep I get a little more comfortable, you know, get used to my receivers just a little bit more. And I, you know, as good as, you know, big of a win as it was tonight, I'm excited of what we're going to grow into moving forward.
Love this guy. Porn star mustache. What was that basketball movie that Will Ferrell was in? Jackie Moon.
I know what you're talking about. I never saw it, but I do know what you're talking about.
Okay, yeah.
It was semi-pro or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, so in that movie, like Gardner Minshew dresses in present day the way everyone dressed in that movie. And the guy is turning into a total rock star. Sports and Culture tweets the show and says, remember Mel Kiper Jr. and Russell Wilson? He was going to be a horrible quarterback. And Bill Polian said Lamar Jackson should be a running back. Mel Kiper also said Jimmy Clausen was the second best player in the draft one year. And then he slid all the way to the second round and no one was selecting him. And he was number two on Mel's draft board. I mean, how about that? Last night, I took a screenshot of Gardner Minshew's Twitter followers after he'd already blown up a little bit, Lonzo. So I didn't get this at the proper time. Last night, Gardner Minshew had 41,000 Twitter followers. Today, he has 58,000. Gained 17,000 new Twitter followers overnight for Gardner Minshew.
Is he gaining those because of the mustache or because of how well he's playing? Or a combination?
I think it's all part of it, man. I mean, I suggested Jalen Ramsey, if he wants to be the most famous cornerback, if he wants to be Deion Sanders, dye his hair teal. The hair's part of it. Don't tell me the hair's not part of it when you look at OBJ's popularity, right?
Yeah, but he got rid of that, so I don't even recognize him anymore.
He got rid of that now, right? Yeah. But that's been a part of his persona.
Oh, for
right?
sure. The hair stand out.
The appearance is absolutely part of it. The appearance off the plane, the appearance in games, the mustache. Do you see the Twitter bio picture here, right? Gardner Minshew?
Dude, that is awesome.
Yeah. It's real. I mean, it's amazing.
He looks like he's in a 70s police show where he's an undercover cop.
So anyway, I feel he does. I feel like Carolina,
like Starsky and Hutch, or so. I know you probably weren't around to see that, but you know,
Starsky and Hutch was that there was a remake of that recently, right?
Yeah, it was not good.
It wasn't good. I would say this: Gardner Minshew for me. I mean, it looks to me like Carolina would be in a much better place today had they selected Gardner Minshew in the draft. And I was a guy that loved the selection of Will Grier. If Gardner Minshew's on your team, you might be saying, we've got our starter for the future. We asked last week on the show, what should you do? What should the plan, what should be the plan for the Carolina Panthers at the quarterback position? Is it time to cut bait from Cam Newton? Do you give him the season to work out the kinks? Or has Cam Newton earned the right to leave on his own terms? Well, if you have a Gardner Minshew, that answer might be given for you. And guys, I'm not so sure Nick Foles is ever going to start a game for the Jacksonville Jaguars. This guy, channeling my inner Stuart Scott, rest in peace, is like butter because he's on a roll. And this is really fun to watch.
What would he have to finish the season out before you think that they move on from Foles? I mean, how well would he have to
Foles
do?
Foles is supposed to be out another 6 weeks, right? So Minshew, to me, if he goes 3-1 and they're 4-2 at the point where Foles would come back, I don't think they bring Foles back. You?
No, I don't think so either.
You got to ride the wave, man.
They look like a different team with him, too. They do. I mean, Foles was the answer in Philadelphia. I guess he's not the answer there. Minshew, he just changes the dynamic.
So you watched the game last night, right? I saw some highlights this morning. I didn't get to watch the game live. Were you as impressed watching him live?
Yeah, he did a good job, especially for being a rookie and coming off the bench. I mean, yeah, definitely.
I mean, look, it's
but again, you look at who they played. I mean, that has to factor in too, but even so, it's still the NFL.
It's an exciting game. It's an exciting time. And look, Minshew Mania, ladies and gentlemen, is most definitely here. This kid is fun to watch, and he almost seems like he's Mike Leach on a football field. Like, he's got the same personality as his head coach. 20 for 30, 204 yards last night, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, 108 quarterback rating. Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. All right. An inconvenient truth for South Carolina heading into the game with Missouri tomorrow is coming your way next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right. Apologize for our technical difficulties. We did find the clip from Amy Dash that we wanted to share with you. And I was asking her about, you know, the NCAA's threats to bar California teams from competing for national championships when California passes this law that players can profit from their likeness. Here was that question and answer with Amy Dash. So what do you think the NCAA's response will be? Because we've heard the threats that they may make the USC Trojans, the UCLA Bruins, all major schools in that state ineligible for the national championship.
They wouldn't be allowed to do that because you can't disqualify schools from engaging in a championship that they had previously participated in just because they're complying with a state law. Meaning you can't disclude them because they are following the law. That would be completely illegal. So that's just all talk by the NCAA. However, I hear that they are meeting to try to see if they can come up with a solution as to how they can change their own internal administrative rules so that they can accommodate this law, because I think they realize, as do most people, that now that this is going to become law in California, there's going to be a domino effect where all states are going to want to pass similar laws, or at least a majority of states, because otherwise their basketball programs at their universities are going to be at a disadvantage, because obviously the recruits are going to go places where they can accept endorsement money and not be penalized for that. And we've already seen that a day ago, New York proposed a similar law.
There you go. The words from Amy Dash. Boy, the NCAA, there is some stress going on in that building right now today. How about an inconvenient truth for South Carolina heading into the game against Missouri, the must-win game against Missouri? You ready for it? Rico Dowdle is better than Tavian Feaster. He's better. He's just flat better, folks. Shh, don't tell Tavian Feaster that. I don't want him to transfer again. Please. Look, folks, the same situation is evolving that took place at Clemson. Tavian Feaster leaves Clemson to go to his rival, which I hated then, I hated now, because he was going to be the number one back. Oh, South Carolina just has a bunch of scrubs. No one can stand in my way. Well, what happens at any organization when they bring somebody new in that's kind of hovering over you, looking over you? It brings out the best in you, right? Brings out the best in you. What has it done to Rico Dowdle? Well, in 33 carries this year, Rico Dowdle has 251 rushing yards. In 29 carries, almost the same amount, Tavian Feaster has 82 fewer yards. They both have a long of 35 yards, which tells you what Rico Dowdle is doing with the carries that he's giving, because Dowdle is averaging 7.6 yards a carry, and Tavian Feaster is averaging 5.8. Shh. Nobody tell Tavian Feaster that he's actually the backup at South Carolina as well, because that won't go over well. See, that's not why you transfer to a rival. You don't transfer to a rival. You don't transfer from one backup situation to another backup situation. In radio, you don't transfer from one part-time situation to another part-time situation. You don't do that. That's not what you do. That's not how you roll. That's not how you go. But Rico Dowdle's 7.6 yards a carry is elite. Tavian Feaster's 5.8 yards per carry is okay by college standards. And if you're Will Muschamp, don't you have to keep riding the hot hand? Folks, I think Tavian Feaster is going to have to start answering this question, and some fans as well. Was it all worth it? Was it all worth it? I said at the time I thought Tavian Feaster would look back in his life and regret the decision. Why? Because I spoke to an NFL player, Seth Payne, a former colleague of mine at Houston, that played in Jacksonville and then played in Houston. And he said, Mark, if I could change one thing about my career, it would have been not playing for a second team in the AFC South, because it forever altered in a negative way my relationship with the fan base. Forever altered it. Well, right now, Tavian Feaster, has he forever altered his relationship with the Clemson fan base? Yes, he has. He will never be remembered as fondly. He has been entered into somewhat the Kelly Bryant camp among Clemson Tiger fans, right? Because he left. He didn't seal the deal. He didn't finish his eligibility there. So he could have been beloved. Instead, he'll be forgotten. And all for what? For what? All right, folks, I am going to introduce you when we come back to a fascinating new statistic that I think could revolutionize the way we evaluate defensive players. That's next. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan on ESPN Upstate. So on our pick segment, I inadvertently wrote Ravens at Seahawks, and Lonzo said there's a mistake there, Chiefs fan as he is. And I said, no, Lonzo, I was trying to get you to pick the team the Ravens were playing. I was trying to get you to pick the Ravens. I thought you'd have a better chance of picking the Ravens if they weren't playing the Chiefs. Wise guy's wisdom coming your way at 3:40 this afternoon.
By the way, if I would have picked the Ravens over Seattle. So,
would you?
Yes, I would.
Would you? There you go. They're 2-0. Not off to a bad start at all. Okay, folks, our next guest coming up at the top of the hour is Seth Walder with ESPN. And Seth is with the ESPN analytics department. And I'm kind of on the fence on analytics, generally speaking. I'll be honest with you. I think stats are like bikinis. They show some things, but not all. If you listen to that statement, this show often, you know that that's a statement I make quite frequently. But this is a statistic to me that bears note and bears watching. Check this out, ladies and gentlemen. What ESPN and Seth Walder and the ESPN Analytics Department have come up with is something called pass rush win rate and pass block win rate. And here's what they're doing. They're looking at all the players in the NFL, and they're using the time 2.5 seconds. What percentage of defensive players beat their offensive linemen within the first 2.5 seconds? What percentage of plays do they do that? Those who do it the most often are likely the best defensive players in the league. How about offensive tackles? How about offensive linemen? What percentage of the time do they prevent the defensive linemen from getting by them in 2.5 seconds? Now, how about the best teams? You know, how about the best team offensive lines? If you look at a whole offensive line, what team does the best job of keeping of preventing one rusher from getting free in 2.5 seconds? I think this is going to revolutionize the way we evaluate defensive players. Seth Walder joins us next to discuss this right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.